Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Shall we rise on our feet to read the word of God? We're going to read all the verses in that chapter, verses 1 to 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
One to go. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall many righteous servants justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for transgression. What a passion. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. It's important for us as believers to have an understanding of why we celebrate what we call Easter. Why we celebrate the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It is important for us to know, because in him we are no longer foreigners and strangers to the commonwealth of heaven. Hallelujah. We have become authorities. We have become executors, distributors of heaven's abundance. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. There's so much that Jesus has done. And that's why I titled today's message, One for All and All for One. One for all and all for one. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Holy Spirit, I surrender myself under your divine intelligence. Thank you for taking hold with me to bring forth the word of God today with clarity, with power, and with authority, that everyone under the sound of my voice will hear you speak unto them. And Lord God Almighty, I want to thank you specially for the power in your word that is able to bring transformation, that is able to bring a renewal to our minds and a correction of all our goals in life. Thank you for spiritual understanding so that we can walk the walk as we talk the talk. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. As we celebrate today, we must also remind ourselves as believers that what Jesus has done for us is what no one really can do for others. Praise the Lord. We must remind ourselves that God always has a plan for man. That no matter what you have been through in life, or no matter what you are going through right now in life, God has a plan. Help me tell your neighbor, God has a plan. No matter what you face, no matter the challenges that you are going through right now, one thing that we need to understand about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is that whatever that he went through, he became victorious. He became an overcomer. And because he overcame, it is an assurance for us that we will also overcome. Praise the Lord. So whatever is facing you right now in life, and something is telling you, I don't know if there's going to be a change. I don't know if there's going to be a turnaround. I don't know if things are going to get any better for me. Beloved, Jesus is risen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is alive. Praise the Lord. Jesus died, and for 3 days, it was a shameful thing to all those that were there. It was a painful thing to them. Why? Because they didn't have a spiritual understanding that Jesus needed to have such experience in his life. They didn't understand that he needed to go through the pain and the shame to deliver them from shame and pain for the rest of their lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so they mourned. Hell thought, victory is ours. We have defeated him. He that has come to trouble us. He that has come to evict us from those homes that we were living in. He that came to remove us from the life of Mary Magdalene, in whom 7 devils were cast out, according to the record. We were comfortable living in her life, but he came and set her free and made us homeless. Praise God. We were a legion in the life of the madman at the tomb that he met. He saw the man. We begged him to leave us alone. He said, we must leave that house because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. He ejected us from that man that he saw at the womb, at the tomb. We had to beg him to let us go into the swines. Because Jesus has the power to shift things. Hallelujah. So when he died, they thought that was it. We got him now.
Now we can deal with all the people as we like. Their king, the so-called king of the Jews, is now dead. Look at the shame. He has been put to shame. But little did they know, oh my goodness, that the power to rise and the power to lay down did not belong to the devil. Hallelujah. On the third day, the Bible said, even though to the rest of the world he was a joke for 3 days, even though to the rest of the world for 3 days it was a thing of shame, of despise, rejection, but the Bible says, on that third day, something happened. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know what shame you've been faced with in life or you are facing in life. But I know that if that is a cross that you have carried, for every crucifixion, there will be a resurrection. Hallelujah. On the third day, hell shook. He that they thought was dead just got up. Hallelujah. He said, you made a mistake. You thought I came down to hell because you got hold of me? Oh no, I came here to release those that you have bound there, to preach to them and to take them with me so that they can ascend and be exalted to the place where I have been exalted by my Father. That's why I came to hell. I didn't come to hell because you killed me, because the power to kill me does not belong to you. I am the life and I am the resurrection. And to whosoever believes in me will never die but live. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Please tell your neighbor, I can't die. I know that's a bit too much for some of us to actually wrap around your head and say, what do you mean I can't die? I can't die. I can change location. If you see me no more, I just went round the bend. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't get to die. Praise the Lord. And that's why as Christians, as believers, we need to rejoice. Why? Because he has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for you and I. Glory be to Jesus. And we shall be with him forever and ever. But for this reason, he came. He needed to suffer. And one thing about his suffering is, it wasn't because of anything that he did. Why did Jesus? Why was he so passionate about suffering? I mean, why would he endure so much despise and shame? Why did he have to go through all that he went through? Did he do it for himself? No. He had a mission. What was the mission? To set you and I free. To bring us out of the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. To give us hope to the hopeless. Hallelujah. To give courage to the timid. To destroy all the works of the enemy. To bind up the brokenhearted. To give beauty for ashes. To give all of joy for mourning. And a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. He came to set the captives free. That's why he suffered. From our text, the Bible said he was beaten. He was stricken. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Not because of what he did wrong, but because of what he wanted to put right. Hallelujah. And he was passionate about it. How many of you watched that movie, The Passion of Christ? Praise the Lord. Why did they use the word passion? What really is the passion of Christ? Who is the passion of Christ? Everyone that believes in Jesus Christ, everyone that would believe in Jesus, they are his passion. Hallelujah. That's the passion. The passion is you. You are his passion. You are his passion. You, and you. Anna. That's the passion. That's why he suffered. That's why he endured the pain. That's why he was hanging on the cross. He bled. They looked at him. They mocked him. I said, look at him. Physician, heal yourself. King of the Jews, why don't you deliver yourself from the cross right now? He hung there. Not for what he did. For the Bible says, he that knew it, no sin, was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. For your sin and for my sin. He hung on that cross. So that we can be admitted into the commonwealth of heaven. So that we can no longer be foreigners and strangers to God. So that you and I can be reconciled back to the Father. For the first man sinned. Sin came to the world because of the disobedience of one person. And righteousness replaced it by the obedience of one person. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look more closely at his passion. From our text, Isaiah 53. The Bible says he was despised and rejected by men. So he faced rejection. He was despised. Maybe you are here today and you feel you are nobody. The reason why he resurrected is to make a nobody a somebody. Hallelujah. So it does not matter who has despised you, who has rejected you. But because Jesus Christ won the victory, he overcame rejection, he overcame despise. You know, that I'm fully persuaded, as Paul himself said. He said, you see, if he rose, I am fully persuaded that I'm going to rise. Hallelujah. If he was comforted, then I am fully persuaded that I will be consoled as well. Praise the Lord. One for all and all for one. Praise the Lord. He bore our griefs. Thank you, Jesus. He was smitten by God and afflicted. Now, I really like the way the scripture put it. He said, he was afflicted by who? He was afflicted by God. God himself afflicted his own son. Oh, help me tell your neighbor, God has a plan. God has a plan. He needed to be afflicted. Some of you may be going through some things sometimes and you say, well, this is the devil. Anytime you are going through some rough patches in your life and you bind the devil, he's not bound. You cast him out, the devil is still there. Hallelujah. You pray, you fast, it doesn't seem as if something is changing. Hallelujah. Don't worry. God has a plan. Praise the Lord. Lord, I want to get out of this situation. Why won't you get me out? The Holy Ghost is saying, you better stay there. Because I'm about to put you down so that I can bring you up. Praise the Lord. I just want to crack your pride. I want to crush your will. So that at the end of the day, when I raise you up, no one takes the glory. You don't even get to take the glory. You will know that it is me. That if it had not been for me that has been on your side, you will die in the valley. You will never know the peace that is on the mountain. Praise the Lord. So stop fighting. A door is shut. It's okay. You prayed. It wasn't open. Leave it. Father, I thank you for that door that is shut. And thank you for the one you are going to open. We worry about so many things we shouldn't be worrying about. And is it the devil is a wicked devil? He knows if he gets you worrying, you are not going to get anything from God. The Bible says, God dwelleth in the praises of his people. When you are complaining and grumbling and worrying, well, can't there's no way God is going to dwell there. He dwells only in praises. You want the power of God to be released on your behalf, then you have to change your mindset about whatever it is that you are going through. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He was afflicted by the Father himself. That's why the devil did not put him on the cross. God put him there.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes you feel you are in a desert. Sometimes it seems as if you are in a famine. No wonder God told Isaac. Isaac said, I think I'm going to have to get out of here. What am I doing in this place? There is nothing here. Business is not moving. I'm going to find it difficult to feed my family. Why should I continue here? I hear that some things are happening in the United States of Nigeria. So I need to go there where things are happening. So I can provide for my family. Hello? Except that God told him, he said, stay right in that same famine where you do not have enough, where you cannot meet your basic necessities of life. Stay there, because in that same place of famine, I will make you prosperous. I will make your name great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did God do it or not? God has a plan. Help me tell your neighbor, God has a plan. He always had a plan from the beginning. There is nothing about your life, beloved, that God is not aware of. He knows. So let's stop telling him what he already knows. Lord, don't you see? Yes, I see. But stay there. Lord, you don't see what I'm going through? Stay there. Love me there. Praise me there. Bless me there. Because in that same place, I will turn your rejection to celebration.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. A woman left her city where she was born because things were hard. She left with her husband. The husband said, look, what are we going to do? We have two sons here. We can't feed ourselves. Let's go somewhere else.
and go and start all over again. And they packed. The whole family went there. When they got there, calamity struck the family. First, the husband died. Grief came. Thank you, Jesus. He bore our griefs. Grief came. As if that wasn't enough. The first son died. Hallelujah. Multiplied grief. Then the second son died. What will we call that one? What's more than multiplication? Calamity. Everything she went to that place with, she lost it. Praise the Lord. Let me tell your neighbor, God had a plan.
God had a plan.
Amen. Amen. You know, reading that story in the Bible, the story of Naomi, I knew that God really had a plan. And you know what the plan is? It was not about the husband that died. If they had not gone to that place, one of the sons would not have married Ruth. He would never have met her. Ruth was a Moabite. She was not a Jew. Hallelujah. And if you are a student of the word, you will know that Ruth gave back to who? Jesse. Jesse gave back to who?
David.
And David is who? Jesus came from the lineage of David. Hallelujah. Let me tell your neighbor, God has a plan. So when we are going through what we are going through, and you are saying, God, why is my own like this? God is saying to you, it has to be like that. Glory be to Jesus. Because I have a plan. And eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has in store for you. Nobody has the bigger picture. That's why I don't care who is writing your story. They can never write the end because they didn't begin it. If God offered your life, is the one who is going to omega it. He's the first and the last, is the beginning and the end. Praise the Lord. So no one can conclude your life. They are not the one writing the story. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. It's not what you go through. It is how you go through it. That's what is important. It is your attitude when you are going through it. You want to get to the land of victory, you are going to get there. But God is more interested in who you become by the time you get there. When you get to your land of victory, will you give all the glory to Him? Or will you give it to yourself and say, by my sheer hard work, I have accomplished this? Or will you say, oh Lord, if it had not been for you, I would not have made it. Ibite simide, mi o lero pe mo le debe o. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me move on. He was wounded for our transgressions. The Bible says, and by his stripes, we were what? We were healed. By his stripes, we were healed. So the purpose of the stripes is to bring us divine health. Praise the Lord. So I don't get any situation in life and I think that I am at a dead end. You don't come to Christ and come to a dead end. Praise the Lord. Whatever you put in his hand, it will come alive because he's the life and the resurrection. So whatever dream
that is dead. No matter the situation that you feel that is dead, put it in his hand. He will resurrect it. He has the power to do it. You see, that's what the devil didn't know. That he actually had the power. And because he had that power, he took the stink out of death. And said, death, where is your stink? He took the power away from the grave. And said, where is your victory? Hallelujah. He said, this is your worst. Guess what? I have the power to overcome your worst. So devil, bring it on. And when I arise, it's not only me that is arising. Everyone that believes in me will also arise. That's why no matter what you are facing, no matter what the devil is doing in your life, your victory is certain. I said your victory is certain. Praise the Lord. This is the passion of Christ. The passion that he has for you. Because of you, he did it. Because of you, he suffered rejection. That's what he did for us. If I was the only one, as somebody said, he said, if I was the only one on the earth, Jesus would still come for me. Because of me, he will come. Hallelujah. This is why all of our time, all of our strength, all of our energy, he deserves our own passion also. Praise the Lord. His passion for us deserves our passion for him. The passion of Christ is worthy of the passion for Christ. Amen. So when we are downcast, we don't feel that, you know, I'm not going to church. I'm not feeling. You are under attack. Your passion for Christ is under serious attack. Praise the Lord. And you need to tell the devil where he belongs. And say, you cannot steal my passion. You can't take it away from me. Amen. Let's look again at his passion. Because we need to fully understand his passion. I believe if you have a full understanding of his passion, from today you will be seriously passionate about Jesus Christ and everything that has to do with him. You'll be passionate about serving him. You'll be passionate with your love for him. You'll be passionate concerning the Great Commission. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of Philippians. Philippians. We're going to read chapter 2. Philippians 2. Are you there? Let's read from verse 2 to 10. 2 to 10. Fully fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is he telling us? Be as passionate for him as he is as passionate for you. Praise the Lord. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Hallelujah. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Lord, have mercy. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Many people go through a lot, expend their energy in pursuing what? In pursuing a name for themselves. Some want to get to the pinnacle of wherever, in whatever area of their lives, for just one reason: to make a name for themselves. And many people, if you really ask them, the driving force behind what they are doing, behind what they are seeking, behind what they are pursuing, is actually to make a name for themselves. But when it comes to Jesus, the Bible says the reason why he humbled himself, the reason why he esteemed other people above himself, the reason why he was lowly of heart, he was a gentle person, he said it was not that he wanted to make a name for himself, because he knows that if he obeys what the Father says, the Father will make a name for him. Hallelujah. For the Bible says, for these things that he did, wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. A name that is above every name. He was highly exalted and he was given a name. He didn't try to make a name for himself. He didn't try to make a name for his family. He was not concerned about, oh, let my family name be heard all over the world. That was not his concern. He was concerned about doing the will of God, esteeming other people. The Bible said he didn't count it that he who is a child of God, it meant nothing to him. He knew that he was equal with God. Hallelujah. Yes, he said it in the Bible. The apostles, the Pharisees couldn't take it when he said, why are you looking for the Father? Once you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For I and the Father, we are one. But he counted it as nothing. Why? Because he's passionate about you. He would rather esteem you. That's why he suffered. That's why he hung on the cross. That's why he was abused. That's why he was beaten. He was passionate. Some of us, you know, when you are really, you know, when, you know, you have a relationship and you're loving someone, I mean, there are some things that you are ready to go. Like the musician will say, I will go some thousands of miles. I will do this for the love of my life. Praise the Lord. But it's an undying love. It's an undying love. Praise the Lord. And how many people do you see? Oh, yes, maybe they've loved a loved one and they stay by the graveside. Oh, I will die to you. Let me go. You try and throw the person inside the place. Hallelujah. Amen. But yet he was given a name that is above every other name. He condescended so he can receive a name that is above every name. So he can receive a name that is above shame. So he can receive a name that is above rejection. So he can receive a name above abandonment. So he can receive a name above discouragement and disillusionment. So he can receive a name that is above lack and poverty. So he can receive a name that is above doubt and fear. Hallelujah. And he was highly exalted and given a name that is above every name. No matter the pursuit, everything you are trying to do to make a name for yourself, it can never be higher than the name of Jesus. For it is at the name of Jesus that every knee bows and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, both in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. It's not by my name. So every effort I'm taking to make a name for myself is getting me nowhere. You may want to make a name for yourself in ministry. Oh, I'm the most popular pastor in the whole of Lagos or in the whole of Nigeria. Thank God for your life. There is a name that is bigger than that. Oh, my family name is a big name. It opens door for me. He can do this. Only the name of Jesus can open a door that no man can shut. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep dropping all manner of names wherever you go. But I know a name that will never disappoint you. The name of Jesus. And there is power in that name. There is so much power. A power that can bring alive that which is thought to be dead. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. The Bible says that the womb of Sarah was, in fact, it has been clinically reported to be dead. Even Sarah knew that this Abraham, this one can't do anything again. So this vision or this prophecy you guys have brought to this place, there is no way that it can come. But the men must have looked at Sarah. He said, you are laughing. Ah, you still don't know. You still don't know whose you are and who you serve. Glory be to Jesus. He is no more in the tomb. He has risen. He is no longer in hell. The Bible says he rode triumphant over death, hell, and grave. Amen?
Amen.
And he took along with him the same Abraham. All those that die. Before he came, he went to hell and brought them out of the place. He said, everything that you believed in me is imputed unto you as righteousness. Because of that, I came here to take you from the dungeon of hell and to put you in an exalted place so that when you use my name answers to you. Ah, glory be to Jesus. I thought you would applaud him for that because he has given us a name. And he said, use my name. And that name will answer to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. This God is so passionate. Let me tell your neighbor, he's passionate about you. So what then do we need to do? How do we show our passion? How do we show gratitude for what Jesus has done? Is it by sharing Easter eggs? Is it by the new clothes that we wear? Is it by the happy Easter cards that we exchange one to another? Is that how we show gratitude? Is that how we respond to his passion? Oh no, we respond to his passion by our own passion for him. Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you so passionate about him? I remember it was the first major program that we were going to have in church when we were still at 45 Lagos Street. And they went around, there was one brother, I think he's now in Kaduna, Brother David, that used to go around with Pastor, and they were going out with Pastor pasting posters all around, and they got to a place, and some people were saying, we are not Christian, don't put this thing there. And one man just got up and just went to pastor and gave pastor one big slap while he was posting the thing on the wall there. And one man came to pastor and said, don't do anything. He said it in Yoruba, mashin koko olohun ri nkan to nse olohun ti gba ibo pe. And pastor said that must have been an angel that God sent on that day, because he was actually going to turn to that man and said, today we are entering the same ring, and let the strongest be the last man standing. You understand? And said he just quickly went away. What am I trying to say? How passionate are you about what Jesus is passionate about? How passionate are we concerning the Great Commission? How passionate are you to extend the love of Christ to someone else, to your neighbor, to your colleague at work, to the person, your business partner, the person whose shop is next to your own? Do they see your passion for Jesus? Can they catch that passion as well? Or there is no passion? You're cold? See what all that he has done. See what he had to go through just for you and I. That's why he did it. Just for you and I. He looked at me and said, I will love you anyway. I'm willing to die for you. You are worth dying for. Help me tell your neighbor. You are worth dying for. And that's why Jesus came and he died. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's quickly read this. I want to give us an example of Apostle Paul. Let's read first. Which one should we read? Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. And let's see the passion of Apostle Paul for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Do you see that? He said, the sufferings of Christ, we were suffering for Christ's sake. He said, it abounds. Because sometimes it just seems that all hell has broken loose in your life. That you are under siege. You are not alone. You will not be the first one. And you won't be the last one. Praise the Lord. So he said, suffering of Christ abound in us. So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. For every suffering, we got a consolation. Hallelujah. For every suffering, there is a consolation. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. One for all for one. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings,
so shall ye be also of the consolation. Hallelujah. So you may be suffering today. There is still a consolation for you. I said there will still be a consolation for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. As the Bible says, if you read it in 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 12, it says, just make sure that your suffering is not because you are a murderer, an evildoer, or a busybody in other men's affairs. He said, because if you are, I'm sorry, the glory of God will not be seen upon you. But if you suffer for Christ's sake, yea, the glory of God is risen upon you. Praise the Lord. So what's your passion for Christ today? What's your passion for him? Somebody that gave so much for us. Somebody that went through so much because of us. Not because of himself, but it is because of you and I. How do you respond to such passion? This is important. This is the real story. That we will be like Paul, who will say, I suffered for Christ's sake. In closing, 2 Corinthians, the same 2 Corinthians, we're going to chapter 6. Because many probably have been deceived by some messages you hear that will tell you, once you come to Christ, everything is just like it, you know. There is no problem. There is no issue. Amen. There is suffering. But the suffering is as a result of our passion for him. You suffer because you are passionate about him. Praise the Lord. Are you there? From verse 4. Okay, let me read from verse 3. Give no offense. Giving no offense in anything. Did you hear that? Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, unto the right hand and unto the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful ye always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That was the passion of Apostle Paul for Christ. He understood the passion of Christ for him, and he said to himself, I must be passionate about him. I must respond to his passion by my passion for him. Hallelujah. How many people will talk about you, and the first thing that they will say is, I know his passion, I know her passion for Christ. If people around you cannot say that, then you still need to go back to the drawing board. There's still a lot of work to do. Hallelujah. There is still a lot of work to do. Shall we rise on our feet? This is the reason for the season. One for all, and all for one. The passion of Christ for the passion for Christ. Praise the Lord.
Let's begin to first thank him for his passion for us. Thank the Lord for his passion. If you've never had it before, you had what he did for you. He didn't do it for himself. He came. He conquered for us. He stooped to conquer. Thank him. Thank him and appreciate him for all that he has done. He's the reason why we still have breath. He's the reason why we're alive. He's the reason. Satola, let's just sing this song to him in appreciation of what he has done for us. Just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and